You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to BFM 89.9. It's time for Aiming for Alpha, and I'm speaking to Andreas Dorn, NLP trainer and coach, on the power of the subconscious mind or the unconscious mind, and we'll find out if there's a difference later. But what is the unconscious and the conscious mind? When you think of unconscious, I think of someone who's sort of asleep.
When you think of someone unconscious, you think of someone asleep. Okay.
Unconscious.
Okay. Let me describe it via the metaphor of an iceberg, because many people are really not aware that there's a difference between the unconscious and the conscious mind. In my trainings, many people actually realize it for the first time that they do have an unconscious mind. A metaphor of the iceberg functions like this. At top of the surface, you see a little bit of the iceberg only, while below the surface, there's plenty of other material. So when you take this metaphor into the conscious and unconscious mind, the top of the iceberg is what we call the conscious mind, which is only a smaller bit, actually, while below the surface, there's much, much more. So the conscious mind is what we see, how a person is behaving on a day-to-day basis, while below is much, much more, actually, below the surface, okay, which we call then unconscious. Unconscious mind.
You know, this is hard to understand. So how does it work? Are there any examples to make it clearer?
Okay, let me give you an example. For example, while I'm speaking to you right now, there's a lot of noise going on around us right now. So there's a computer buzzing, and while people listening to this one right now, they're driving maybe a car. So while they're driving a car and they're listening to us here speaking, they might actually not listening to the sound of the engine anymore. So every single second, we've got about 2 million bits of information coming at us from the outside world. And our mind is operating in a fashion that it deletes, distorts, and generalizes information. That means it deletes information away. And left behind, after the 2 million bits of information have been received by the body, so to speak, only 134 kb is what we are really experiencing. So when you are driving your car, there were probably days where you were driving your car and you were very much, traffic jam is heavy, and we are snoozing through the federal highway, and then we're coming to work very much exhausted maybe. That is a time when we are working very much or driving on our conscious mind. While there are other days when we are snoozing across the federal highway and just dreaming around, maybe thinking about what we have got to do. And sometimes we're reaching our destination without actually knowing how we reached there.
So we work on autopilot.
And the unconscious mind is sometimes just working like an autopilot.
And sometimes you were mentioning as well the 2 million bits of information. So a lot of it gets filtered. And what is being filtered may be good or bad.
What is being filtered is, well, it's how the individual operates, basically. There's no good or bad, basically, but these are the mental filters of how we are looking at the world, the lenses that we do have, basically.
And you describe as if there's a size to the unconscious mind. How big or how small is the unconscious mind, actually?
Very interesting question. I'm still researching on this one, but there is no real number around it that can be attributed to it. But most of the time, scientists actually say that the conscious mind is very small, just about 4%, while the unconscious mind is 96%. So there's about 7 bits of information. The 134 kb that I mentioned earlier is about 7 bits of information. There was a study done way back in the 1950s by a psychologist, and he said that your conscious mind actually can at any one time only hold about 7 bits of information. So just imagine for a moment the shampoo that you're using in the morning to wash your hair. And when I would ask you for additional shampoo brands, you would have to start thinking, basically. So you might name the brand that you use to wash your hair, and then there are other brands. But after a short while, you're running out of brands, and you might have to start thinking, and where is this information actually coming from? That is when we are starting to access information from the unconscious mind. In similar fashion, when you ask people to do calculations, which may be way back they've learned in school, and suddenly their little son or daughter asks them, "Papa, can you help me in this math work?" And they, Papa and Mama, thinks about it, and suddenly the solution comes. Where is it coming from? Actually, from the unconscious mind. It was still stored in the unconscious mind, but not accessible in the conscious mind at that point of time.
So what do you think Einstein was performing at?
Whoa, I don't quite know how he was performing it, but I read one time a study that actually nowadays most of us have reached the same level of IQ that Einstein had at that point of time, but I don't quite know exactly at what level he performed. But I believe IQ, for instance, is just one measurement. We're also talking about EQ nowadays, which means how do we relate to others, the emotional self-awareness that we do have. So IQ is no longer a measurement of success per se.
And do you think we'll ever get to the remaining 96%? Is there hope for
us? There's always hope for us. Will we get to the remaining 96%? Interestingly, many people ask me this. So how can I expand my conscious mind? And I actually think we're always accessing our unconscious mind. Conscious mind and unconscious mind always operate with each other. So it's not so much about how do we expand the conscious mind, but more about how do we get conscious mind and unconscious mind in sync with each other to achieve our goals. So if they don't work with each other, if they are somehow out of sync, and there was one hypnotherapist called Milton Erickson, he one time said that all problems created by individuals is always happening, or oftentimes happening, because their conscious mind and their unconscious mind are out of sync. So the challenge is, how do we get conscious mind and unconscious mind into sync?
In sync.
To allow us to reach our goals.
So it's the unconscious mind that's influencing what we're doing.
The unconscious mind is very much influencing how we are doing. The unconscious mind is how we are looking at the world. It holds our memories, our values, our beliefs, our experiences. Basically, it's holding everything, and that's amazing. It's holding everything that you've ever experienced. There was one time an operation done by a lady on her brain, and she was about close to 50 years old. And when she came out of the operation, she remembered everything that happened at her fourth birthday. Everything that happened at her fourth birthday, like the people there, the packaging of the presents she got, the smell of the cake, how the people were feeling her when she was hugging them and saying thank you for the present. So unconscious mind holds everything that we ever had. But it's also very much responsible for keeping our body running. It has a memory of every event. So it takes care that we are breathing nicely, that we are, when we are sleeping in bed at night, basically, that we are still alive, so to speak, that we have time to get up in the morning time. It's waking us up after a while again.
All right. And so you said the unconscious mind, in that example, is the seed of everything that we experience in our life. Is it possible to get access to it?
It's always possible to get access to it. So, and many people want to get access to it. For instance, when you do relaxation exercises, it's very much, but the moment we are starting to relax ourselves, we are starting to get access to our unconscious mind. The moment we are falling asleep, just before we fall asleep, actually, we are starting to access the unconscious mind. Our dreams actually are also messages from the unconscious mind to us. Most of the time, we don't remember them, of course. In hypnosis or self-hypnosis, you can teach people to access earlier experiences. And in my training NLP, we actually teach them, people in participants, on how to access their unconscious mind, how to create the awareness of their behavior, so to speak.
All right. So how do we change when the unconscious mind is so powerful? How do we access the unconscious mind to initiate change? And how can we make the change stick? That's a tough one, to make the change stick.
Mao, you're right. Most change actually doesn't happen that easily. Just remember the 31st of December, how many people write down New Year's Eve resolution? How many actually achieve it? Because we are writing it down very consciously. But then the conscious mind is when we are writing it down as a goal-getter, then taking care of the action we need to take. But the unconscious mind, unconscious mind is a goal-getter, the conscious mind is a goal-setter. So we are writing goals as the goal-setter, the unconscious mind is a goal-getter. How do we do that? Well, we have to make sure that there's a sync between the unconscious mind and the conscious mind. So we have to get the agreement of the unconscious mind that is really willing to go with us in making the change possible. And for instance, cigarette smokers have a lot of problems getting rid of their habit because the unconscious mind has something what we call secondary benefits. That means sometimes the problem of letting go of a cigarette is bigger than the solution to it. They are cigarettes, for instance, they want to smoke because it makes them relax, they feel less stressed out, it's easier to meet people, for instance. But when we take care of this one, so we're telling them, we're teaching them of how to relax, how to meet people, then it's much easier for the unconscious mind to let go of habits.
All right. And so that's great for an individual. How do we use this knowledge now for businesses and organizations?
Business is an organization by their nature consisting of more than one individual mostly. And all of them bring their values and their belief, which are in the unconscious mind, to work. So what we have to do is basically we can align the values and belief in an organization to help them achieve their goal. We can embed goals in the unconscious mind to make it much easier for them to achieve. We can look at low performers, for instance, and understand what makes them a low performer and turn them actually by getting an agreement of the unconscious mind into high performers. And ultimately, also, we're talking a lot about leadership pipeline. With understanding of the unconscious mind, we can actually achieve a better leadership pipeline. So we talked about beliefs before that reside in the unconscious mind and how we look at the world. So people bring all kinds of belief to work, and nobody really wants to mess up an organization. They all want to perform well. But sometimes, because how we are looking at the world, just think about it for a moment, how you were raised up. If people were around you, for instance, saying it's hard to make money, no pain, no gain, and so on. These are beliefs that are sitting inside of us right now, and some people really struggle hard to do that. So when you understand the beliefs and values in an organization, you can align this and make help the organization succeed much faster.
And what could an organization do right now to improve their position in the marketplace when they understand the power of the unconscious mind?
Easy to say. Of course. Let's say gain a better understanding first of how do people act in the organization. Then always step a little bit back and think what drives them, what is the belief behind what they're driving them. But an easy tip, for instance, could be, Frieda, when I would ask you right now, don't think of a blue elephant. What comes to your mind?
The blue elephant.
Exactly. A mind can't process negative. The mind can't process negative. So many people come to the organization, or the boss comes to the employee and says, don't forget to bring your stuff to work, or don't forget to deliver the report, or don't be angry when you talk to the client. That means basically the word don't should be avoided actually in organizations.
Remember to bring your stuff to work. Remember
exactly.
to be nice to the client.
Exactly.
And just changing
exactly.
the wording.
Another tip could be, for instance, the question why. Many times when people come to us and say, why did you do that? And we actually, the first time we heard why was when our papa or our mama was standing in front of us and asked, why did you forget to do your homework? So the moment the boss comes to you and asks you, why did you do this? We are falling back. The unconscious mind feels like it's back to 3 years old or 2 years old and behaves like a little child. So instead of asking why, for instance, which reminds the unconscious mind of earlier times, use the question how and use the question why as an equivalent to the question why.
I'm speaking to Andreas Dorn, NLP trainer in our Aiming for Alpha segment on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.